tumor the size of a grapefruit. My bones are turning to dust. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. God's going to punish me. Not today, probably, but someday. 503-733-2. He boasted that God would never punish him. And his pelvis was shattered by a runaway ox cart on the way home. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. I honestly don't know what's going on this show some days. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. And why wouldn't you like it? It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Still to come, I'm going to buy that Fusion razor tonight. I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to come in. I'm going to shave tomorrow. And everybody's going to learn firsthand all about it. Won't that be gripping? What else? Oh, we got to talk about that Grindhouse movie coming up. Let's see. Grindhouse. Yeah, we got to talk about this Scotty thing in a second. Hey, am I the only one who does... First of all, never mind. Never mind. I'm stopping myself right now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, James Roop. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon. I've used the Fusion razor.
Yeah, you have?
Yes.
Now, is this the one with the batteries and you press it and it goes...
No. The Fusion, the one that I have, it has four blades in the cartridge.
Okay, now... not to revisit the whole first hour of the show again, but so
sorry.
Is it? No. It's fine. We just I got all these shaving issues. What I would give to just never have to shave again. And somebody actually emailed me and they said, well, there's this. I got several guys who emailed me because I was talking about how I have that Mach 3 and the blades cost more than gold and blah,
yeah,
blah, blah. This is several guys said this. They said, Rick, you need to blow dry your blades after you use them. I kid you not.
Wow.
They will last forever. You will feel like a cheap idiot, but it's true. If you blow dry your blades.
Wow, what does that do?
I don't know. There's several, and it's the most frustrating kind of advice. It sounds plausible, but there's absolutely no explanation given. It's like someone telling you how to douse for water. There's several guys here that, like, you need to independent emails from one another. It's like, you need to blow dry the blades on your razor. They'll last forever.
Does heat sharpen the blades?
Well, how much heat could your hair dryer put off?
Not much.
And if you're putting
on... I can't burn my dog with it.
No matter how hard you try, you can't discipline the children with it. For your hair dryer to put off enough heat to sharpen blades, that's like forging smelting heat.
Yes.
And I don't want that thing anywhere near my head. So I would probably not keep... That's like one of those heat ray guns things that the military is going to be developing. Maybe it's because... I would just be making stuff up. I don't know. But then this guy says, Rick, about your shaving dilemma, one word, electrolysis. Now, is electrolysis where they, like, zap your skin or whatever with like, lasers and then you can never grow hair again?
Yeah, I don't know that works, though.
I see. That seems like a too-good-to-be-true kind of a thing. Because if that was the case, why wouldn't everybody do that?
You might as well just take female hormones.
Well, I'm already doing that.
Right.
It's in preparation of my trip to Scandinavia next year. All right. Well, in any event. Hey, what's going on in Los Angeles? How's life? How are things?
Oh, life is wonderful. What are we dealing with here today? Gosh, I've been working and I forgot all about it. Oh, two elderly women are have to stand trial for taking... insurance policies out on transients and then running them over with their car.
Really?
Yeah.
Has somebody made the obligatory arsenic and old lace joke?
Well, no.
Okay, well, let me be the first.
Thank you very much.
Arsenic and old lace.
Yeah.
Ah! All right.
So that's interesting. Then the governor went ahead and signed the bill that will make California's primary... at least the presidential primary, anyway, jumped from June to February.
Now, that's one of the things that really interests me. So only because, and I meant to talk to Lisa Goddard about this earlier, but I didn't because, I was trying to take it easy on her because your voice is a little raspy today. You'll bear the brunt of my political nitwittery here, my nattering. it's not even 2008 yet. I mean, it's barely 2007, and it already seems like this presidential race has just got so much heat on it.
Yeah, can you imagine what it's going to feel like in 2000?
I cannot imagine how intense and what the media cycle is going to feel like in about, I don't know, 16 months. I mean, I cannot. I remember how insane and intense and how much buzz there was around it when Bush and Kerry were facing off. Because speaking of California, because I was in L.A., I was in Los Angeles the night of the first Bush-Kerry debate, and when Kerry just destroyed him, and Bush was just there blinking like some sort of really confused lab animal, and I got in, and I was in my hotel room watching it, and Sarah and I were like texting back and forth about it, and it was just really insane. It already feels that intense right now, and it's only March of 2007. So it's crazy, and this in ramping up your primary to February is just only going to increase that.
Well, this is really more about what's in it for me in economics, because with California's primary in June, usually by June everybody's locked up. They all know who's going to be, who the candidates are going to be, pretty much. But by the same token, up until June, they come to California because it's the most populous state.
Right.
There's a bunch of liberal Democrats and pretty right-wing Republicans here that give lots of money. So politicians will raise lots of money here, but then they'll go to the other places where the early primaries are to spend the money in campaigning. And so the governor says, why don't we move ours up so that when they make the money here, they have to spend it here, and they have to listen to what we want. Because,
right.
You know, what the governor says is California is completely disregarded during the political process, at least in picking candidates.
Yeah, I know. California never gets any breaks. What with your, like, 470,000 electoral votes or whatever the hell it is? Are you talking much about this Angel Raich story?
I have. Yeah, I did that story this morning.
This is, she's 42. She's got, what is she dying of?
Oh, man.
She like 100 things?
Scoliosis, a brain tumor. She has chronic nausea. She has all kinds of things going on with her. This is such a weird issue because it makes no sense, especially if, you know, the federal government needs to, well, anyway, it makes very little sense to prosecute somebody or threaten to prosecute somebody for doing something their doctor says will keep them alive.
Right, and the doctor said it's one of the only things that will keep her alive because
conventional medicine does not work for this lady. To, number one, to keep her nausea down, and number two, to bolster a non-existent appetite.
Right.
He says every 2 hours, either eat or smoke marijuana.
Right.
That's what's keeping her alive. And the government says, the Supreme Court says, hey, we're going to come get you anyway.
Well, this, and I hate to sound so black about this and just so dark, but in many ways, this is sort of the case that, like, the medical marijuana folks have just probably got to been praying for in a weird way, because you know, whenever it's like the pro pot, and I, you know, and drug, the prohibition on drugs, as Aaron Sorkin has said, it doesn't create fewer drug users, just more criminals.
Right.
And but the problem is, you get, whenever you talk about, like, using industrial hemp, for example, and in Oregon we hear about this all the time, and I'm not trying to knock it, but you get these guys who are talking about, well, you know, hemp is easier to grow, and it gives you, like, the yield that's 10 times of trees and so forth. All of which is true, but it's never like some old guy in a white lab coat, which is what you need. It's always an idiot in a Dr. Seuss hat who's on a unicycle. You know, and he's like, and he's, you know, busy listening to like a Grateful Dead bootleg tape from 1972. And, you know, and he's wearing a fabulous furry Freak Brothers shirt. And that's a guy who's never going to get the point across. These medical marijuana things, I have been saying for the longest time, they either need a 90-year-old grandmother or they need, you know, a mom, somebody's mom who needs this stuff. And that's clearly what this is. Now, the federal government has said that they're not going to do anything. Is the state going to do it?
The state... medical marijuana is legal in California.
Right, right.
The federal law, though, says any use of marijuana is illegal.
So is the state going to do anything? In other words, is the federal government directing California to go, like, bust her and stick her in the hole?
State, federal trumps state. I think, what I understand it is the federal government saying, this does not make you immune from prosecution. It doesn't say we're going to go bust you. But if you get caught smoking marijuana in public or in a restaurant, you know, a couple hours before your meal gets there, sucking on a brownie that's just suspicious, you're going to, you could be arrested. That threat alone is enough, you know, to just drive you nuts. So whether the state does anything about it, I don't know. But it's just that it's just a ridiculous issue.
Really, what they need is somebody, whether it's Schwarzenegger or whoever, there needs to be some guy who takes a perfect case like this woman and just gets on TV with her and just says, look, she's 42, she's got two kids, she's dying of like 5 different things.
Yeah.
This is the only thing that keeps her alive. Like, come arrest her. I dare you.
Nothing will happen until she dies and somebody sues the federal government because they could have done something to keep her alive.
Yeah.
They could have said, okay, let's pass this law, or let's make exceptions, and, you know, if somebody's terminally ill, and this is what's keeping them alive, that's one thing, you know. If it's just because you got glaucoma, that's another thing.
Well, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you can't, like, obviously you can't go buy a bag of, and I'm saying stuff that everybody with a brain knows, but, I mean, you can't go buy cocaine, but, I mean, when you go in to get surgery on your eyes, the stuff they put on your eye to make, you know, to as an anesthetic is cocaine.
Yeah.
I mean, so clearly there are medical uses, and the fact that the government, and I'm officially just ranting now, and I'll stop it after this sentence, but the fact that the government classes it as a Schedule I drug, which means that in the government's view, there is, quote, no medical purpose for marijuana, is just ridiculous. It's just beyond... It's so ridiculous, it just hurts my brain to think down to that level.
Because there's so much science about it. You know, that's the weird thing, is that science will back up the medical marijuana use, and yet they still turn a blind eye to it. And I think this woman actually cultivates the pot, because she has to have so much of it. I think she grows it herself. I think that's another issue that could land her in jail.
Seriously, if I ever, you know, if/when I'm ever stricken with a huge tumor, I'm going to do that, and I'm just going to get, I'm just going to go stand on the corner every day with a bullhorn and just dare them to come arrest me, because that's what it's going to take. Or, as you said, a lawsuit, you know, God forbid, after she's dead.
Yeah.
So, all right.
But that's what it'll take. Somebody, some lawyer will decide to take on the federal government over this.
Well, that really is, and again, I don't want her to die, obviously, but if she does, /when she does, that would be immensely satisfying to me. All right. Well, I hate to end on a big buzzkill down like that, but anyway, thank you, sir. You enjoy the rest of your day.
And you too, sir.
We will have speaks with you soon. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. There you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. All right. There you go. Fantastic. Well, let's get these calls, and then we'll do other things. We'll get these calls. We'll talk Grindhouse, maybe, and then we get to talk to Scotty about this thing he's doing. And we'll have a break. We'll have more from Tim Riley. Ian, hello, sir.
Hello, Rick. I got an answer to your razor blade question.
Oh, is this about the blow drying?
Yeah. Well, the thing is certain types of steel, they erode from moisture. So if you leave your razor blade wet, you know, you have several hours of, like, whatever's in your shaving foam, whatever's in your water. It likes to eat away at the very fine edge of your razor. So that's what makes it dull.
Oh, all right. Okay. So it's almost like it's like the rust and the chemicals and the whatever.
Yeah. That eats away at your edge. And when you're talking about a razor blade, you have a very fine edge, and it's just only, you know, the tenth the width of a human hair. That's
right.
How wide the edge is.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, I'm actually going to, I'll try that tonight, because I just hate paying like $18 for a pack of like four razor blades.
Yeah, I have, like, if I don't shave for any length of time, I start looking like Grizzly Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, thank you, sir.
No problem.
Right, there you go. Scotty says the Fusion is five blades, period, but that there is a version of it that has the little vibrating thing. I knew this was going to happen. Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. I'm looking at the calls here. Hi.
Oh, hi. Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know some pertinent information on Friday evenings at 8 p.m. on local cable access channel 11. You'll see a show called Cannabis Common Sense. And on there, you may see Dr. Thomas Orvald, who's a retired heart transplant surgeon.
Yes. Right.
He comes on the show about once or twice a month. But prior to him, they had...
Are you inside of a box of some kind?
Oh, I'm at work, and I'm just wearing my desk respirator.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway, prior to him being the physician for the show, they had Dr. Philip Levesque, who is a professor of pharmacology and toxicology for over 40-something years.
Yeah.
But they both have qualified... They both give out qualified
information. Well, it's pointless. It's pointless. Everybody, no one's mind has ever changed on this. Everybody with a brain knows that hemp is fine and pot, relatively speaking, bad for you. You know, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. I'm just saying it's just like one of those things. Like, you're preaching to the, you're not only preaching to the choir, you are writing, I mean, we're all with you on that, sir. So, I'm just saying it's Oregon. Those shows are on like every day. Everybody here knows the deal. And anybody who doesn't believe it at this point isn't going to be swayed by one more doctor telling them.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I actually kind of had a jaundiced view of the substance until I watched this show the first time about probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I've learned quite a bit off of that show, especially when One night, a little old lady called in, and she says, Dr. Levesque, I was taking 8 to 10 OxyContin a day for my spinal fusion surgery, and when I got my medical cannabis card, she says I weaned it down to where I'm using one or two.
All right. Well, I hate to be jerky and cut off the call here, but I understand. I get it. I know it. I mean, there's a book called The Emperor Wears No Clothes by Jack Herrera, which will lay it all out for you, so... You know, I get it. So there you go. And Scotty, would you just, the rest of it, that's the problem. Every time you mention this, is exactly what I'm talking about. Every time you mention this, there's like 500 guys who want to call up and go on and on about pot and hemp and whatever, and we're just not going to do that. 503-7, and because I've got these sex fantasies written about Tonya Harding, that's really where
get to the pertinent stuff.
That's what I'm saying. That feels good, Mike, she says softly. I continue to massage her while asking if it hurts anywhere else. I move. These are fantasies from TonyaHarding.com, by the way. I move my hand down her leg to her calf. Does it hurt here? I ask. No, I'm okay, she replies. I move my hands above her knee. How about here? I ask nervously. She moans softly, and in a joking voice says, careful, Mike. You'll get me excited. I giggle and I mumble, only in my fantasy, Tonya.
Oh, my God. This is wrong.
Tonya's expression changes instantly, and she said, who would write this? Oh, it's Mike, a 38-year-old male. Tonya's expression changes instantly, and she says, all caps, oh, my God, Mike, I've been fantasizing about you for months. I move one hand to her shoulder and pull her to me. She slides her hands around my waist and pushes her face toward mine. And then I swear to God, this is how this guy ends his Tonya Harding fantasy that he's written. I don't have to tell you where my fantasy goes from here. Tonight, I am a god. Yes, you are, sir. Let's see if I can read. I'll see if I can read one more here. Oh, good God. These are all very explicit. There's a whole lot of grinding and a whole lot of throbbing this.
Now, what year are these from? What year are these from?
This one's from April 15th, 2000.
Oh.
This website hasn't been updated in a while. Let's see. What do we have here? She leaned forward, showing just a hint of succulent cleavage. Okay, we're done. We're done. So done with that. Thank you. All right, it's 503-733-2970. All right, we're going to break here. Scotty has written on the screen. We throw the hubcaps off the counter and begin making sweet, sweet relations. Well done. Back after this, we'll talk about Grindhouse. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. And Scotty J. You stay there for the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Radio Program. We want to thank Stephen in Aloha. Sarah went up to my office to get some aspirin, and she came down with a big box, and I opened it, and it's full. It's got those McFarlane Kiss figurines.
Awesome. That's a big box.
Which is fantastic. Thank you, Stephen in Aloha. God bless you, sir. 503-733, and Gene Simmons comes equipped with some sort of winged snake thing. It's 503-733-2970. We'll talk about Grindhouse here, just skosh. We got the top five next hour. We got to talk to Scotty about something. Listen, we got to do this first. Nick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Howdy.
Nick, hello.
I'm not supposed to listen to your show at work, but my boss is taking a Xanax nap, so I figured it's safe.
The X. Well, you shouldn't. Just don't smother him with a pillow. I know it's tempting. You don't want to do that, though.
I was calling in about the...
Yes?
The hippies that are proponents for hemp clothing are the same hippies that think it's cool to dig out an old-growth tree for a hot tub.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I told Scotty that... Scotty and I were doing a little call screening 101, and I said that, you know, that every time you talk about hemp, which is fine, whatever, use hemp, don't use hemp, I don't care. It's just one of those things that you say that, and it's sort of the, hemp is sort of the left-wing version of gun control, where you talk about it, and immediately that you get like 100 guys calling in an hour, and that's all they want to talk about is hemp. And, you know, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, you know the deal, everybody's made the point, I don't really need to have it sold to me over and over again. That's, yeah, that's my thing, so...
I just want to trash on some hippies for a minute.
God, because they stink.
So the hemp clothing is treated with toxic chemicals to make it softer.
Yeah, well. Okay.
On a side note, I was curious if you've seen any of these shows, Hyperdrive or Little Mosque on the Prairie.
No, I have not, sir. What might those be?
Little Mosque on the Prairie just came out on CBC last month.
Yes.
And if you like Sports Night, yes. It's got pretty good banter.
Excellent. I love good banter, sir. What kind of work do you do, Nick?
I work at the Federal Building up on 11th.
All right. Excellent. Thank you. You keep listening. You call us anytime your boss is stoned.
I'll do.
All right. Thank you. All right. That's Nick, ladies and gentlemen. And we're done. Okay. Whew. Okay. What, did it surprise?
You did good.
Did it surprise anybody at the end when that guy was a government employee? I don't have to move for anybody.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth.
Everything seems so fast now.
This is Tim Riley.
Well, take that, Democrats. The Senate has aggressively challenged their withdrawal plan. Apparently, the anti-war Democrats prevailed at a near party line vote of 36-28 in the House Appropriations Committee, brushing aside a week old veto threat of overcoming unyielding opportunities for the Republicans. But the Republicans said, no, the Democrats can't have what they want. So the Iraqi withdrawal bill goes down to defeat in the Senate.
In your face, Democrats.
So there. Meanwhile, from Eugene comes word, a former teacher who supplied beer and marijuana to students at a birthday party says she's incredibly remorseful and she'll be placed on probation. Brandy Sevignon, now Brandy spells here B-R-A-N-D-Y-E, that's a new one. She taught high school in Lane County. She must forfeit her Oregon teacher's license. She lives in Medford now. She's guilty of endangering the welfare of a minor and furnishing alcohol to minors, both misdemeanors. She was a new teacher at the school and lived as a caretaker at a nearby resort.
Well, everyone wants to be popular.
Well, the room at the resort was rented for a birthday party for a high school student back in November. And the teacher was intoxicated when she checked in on the party as part of her caretaking duties. Students told the administrators that the teacher supplied beer and some marijuana. And somebody took her a picture holding a marijuana smoking pipe.
I'm appalled. I'm incensed. Did anybody see the picture of the hot teacher in Tacoma yesterday?
So. Was it the one? I think you showed it to me in the hallway.
Getting on with the 17-year-old kid. It's pretty hot. I mean, I know it's a crime and all, but it's hot. It's a hot crime. It's like hot cops. They're hot criminals. And in Tacoma, of all places, where everyone is hideous, she can't possibly be from there. We won't bother to read it, but it's some hot. You can find it online. Some hot blonde teacher.
I have, when I was in college.
Tell me you know her. Tell me you know who it is.
If her first name's Kara, I know her. Because I know this girl who had a...
Okay, now I got to find out.
Okay, you've got to find her.
Why do you know? Do you know a teacher who gets it on with students?
Because when I graduated college, she actually moved to Tacoma to start teaching, and she liked dating younger guys, tall,
really?
Blonde, really pretty girl.
She promised she would.
Let's see, I'm not Tacoma. Saying that she would date a 17 or do whatever she did with a 17.
Oh, it wasn't just dating. It was, let's
long
see.
Walks on the beach?
Teacher sentenced for sex with student. Tacoma. Let's see here. Let's see. I'm waiting for this to open right here. This is from king5.com. Ooh, ah. This is not her. There's a hideous looking woman in this ad off to the left. Just hideous. Is she an anchor? Oh, my God. That doesn't even seem possible. I'm sorry.
Maybe she's a real anchor.
No, maybe.
Could she be used as an anchor like in a lobster?
There's this woman, this nose on this woman. God almighty.
Focus, Rick, focus.
I'm sorry. All right, I'm back on the story here. They had to take this woman off the page. She pulls your eye all to the left. Teacher sentenced for sex with student in Tacoma, Washington. No, her name is not Kara. Tacoma, Washington. A Tacoma judge ignored a plea bargain and sentenced a former Buckley teacher to 6 months in jail for having sex with a 17-year-old male student. And she's hot. Her name is Rebecca. Rebecca Todd. Why does that,
that
sound
like a stage name?
Why does that sound so familiar?
Rebecca Todd?
Do I know her?
Maybe oh, the blood thickens.
I used to know her, and it's with a K. Two Ks. Rebecca. I used to know a Rebecca was spelled that way.
T-O-D-D?
T-O-D-D. Rebecca Todd. Two Ks, two Ds. Rebecca Todd. 25-year-old Rebecca. 25. She's almost a decade younger than I am. She could totally have gone to school with you. Rebecca Todd had expected a sentence of 30 days in home detention. Prosecutor said, I'm reading that for this news story, this hot teacher in Tacoma. Prosecutor said they had evidence she performed oral sex on a White River High School boy. She was a health and physical education teacher. After she was accused and forfeited her teaching, blah, 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 blah. So she's really pretty, though, and especially, like, really, if you're grading on a curve in Tacoma, she's like a 10. She is, as Lucas would say, she's like a 7 anywhere else. This is not even the best shot of her. I saw a straight-ahead shot.
Oh, she's pretty.
Yeah, she is pretty.
Well,
she's
probably going to be the highlight of that Tacoma boy's life.
Well, seriously, it's all just down. It's all just...
You might meet someone at the Jiffy Lube or the towing yard.
I was going to say, it's all just joining a gang and driving a forklift after that. Anyway, Rebecca Todd.
Sounds like a stage name.
Yeah.
Entertaining tonight in our Tiki Lounge.
That's probably where she's headed. And don't call with your stupid... Don't call with it. It's a double standard. Doesn't matter. Hot female teachers can get it on with anybody in Rick Emerson land. Doesn't matter. I don't care. Save your comments for somebody else. Oh, here we go. This is Steve. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick, real quick, what's the 17-year-old's name? Is it like Thomas Clay?
Well, that would be outrageous.
Yeah, they do not reveal the names of minors involved in such cases, sir.
Okay, I saw one on CNN, and they had the kid on there, and his name was Thomas Clay. And they're from Colorado, and this girl was smoking hot teacher.
The teachers who have sex with male students now, and again, we're not telling people to break the law. That would be wrong if hot. I'm just saying the teachers have gotten much hotter. It used to be, you know, we always say, like, well, like we've talked a lot about how 16-year-old girls look 20 and 10-year-old girls look 15, and it's just a very hyper-sexualized society we live in now, more so than before, I think. And how, you know, here's another thing. Porn stars have gotten hotter. Models have gotten hotter. All women now are hotter. I mean, generally speaking, women now are just much hotter than they were 20 years ago. That includes teacher sex offenders. They are all so much hotter than they were when I was growing up. I was never molested by anybody this hot. Ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Neither was I, but they, of course, they went to the archives of all the previous teachers that were caught having sex with underage kids, and I noticed a trend. They were all blonde teachers.
That's what I'm...
blonde support.
Totally, like that woman in the Florida, whatever her name was, that got busted last year.
Yeah, sitting there.
Deborah LaFave. She's the gold standard.
What idiot 17-year-old would turn in a hot teacher? I mean, that is a... teenager's dream.
He ought to be beaten.
He should be.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I think I found her MySpace page.
Me Og. Big tree. All right. Here's, really?
Yeah, she's a pretty girl.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
What does it say on the MySpace page?
Nothing. Her only friend is Tom, so I think she might have started it and then probably got the teaching job. I'm like, oh, probably didn't have a MySpace page.
She needs more friends.
You know, there's certain names spelled certain ways that I just find really... Rebecca spelled with a K-A-H is hot to me. I don't know why. Doesn't make any sense at all. Is this strange thing? I used to have... Well, I shouldn't. I was... Never mind.
Go ahead.
I won't use the modifier that I was going to use. I won't use the adjective. I used to have an intern years ago named Rebecca with a K-A-H who was really hot. Maybe I'm making that connection. I should move off of this. Here's Tim Riley.
Now, more real news for real people. Dateline North Prep, Nebraska. Crime wave has occurred. Two stray cats got into a house and attacked three people, then had to be checked for rabies and euthanized. The cats entered Melissa Breeder's...
checked for rabies and then euthanized. You're clean, but we're going to kill you.
The cats entered Melissa Breeder's house through an open front door and attacked two women visiting and a boy. I thought I'd seen it all, but I'd never seen anything like this, said the chief of police, Martin Guthritter. Animal control officer John Pettit responded to the call for help.
Is the animal control officer's last name really Pettit?
Yes, it is Pettit. One woman was scratched and bitten on her legs. The other one was bitten on her right calf. After talking to them, Pettit went to his truck for snares and heard screaming from inside the house.
Snares is a funny word.
When we ran back in, we saw a young male with blood all over his face. He was bitten on his forehead, nose, left ear, and right cheek.
I hate cats.
After some first aid from Pettit, the three were taken to Great Plains Regional Medical Center. Then investigator John Stater arrived. I guess they called out all of North Pratt on this one.
This is going to be like their episode of, this. Where is this?
North Pratt, Nebraska.
Pratt 911.
So, investigator John Stratner arrived and opened the bedroom door. I saw a gray and white cat baring its teeth in attack mode. He shut the door quickly and returned to his car for a dart gun. But both cats were shot, tranquilized, taken to the animal shelter, where they were euthanized.
I love the idea, and I really do love it, because cats are evil, that, like, the rabies checking part, like, that was important. The euthanizing was just for fun. The euthanizing was just because, like, well, what else are you going to do? What else are you going to do in that town late at night?
So the question on the lips of everyone in North Pratt, Nebraska, who owned these cats? Under a city ordinance, cats may run free. Only if they don't become nuisances. In this case, they did.
And now they're dead.
Drugs in Hollywood. It's become an epidemic. U.S. Weekly senior writer Joey Bartholomew says another celebrity just might have to die before Hollywood wakes up to the problems of drugs.
Unfortunately, it might just come to people, you know, waiting for someone to die and something's really terrible to happen.
Oh, my God.
Right now, it seems like everyone is just out there in Hollywood and they're using drugs and they're partying and they're not stopping.
That's groundbreaking journalism right there. That's what
even
that
at
is.
The Galleria.
That's not a real reporter. That's some chick outside of Claire's.
Her name is Joey.
Yeah, Joey's not a real reporter.
Joey name. Says that reporters for her magazine have witnessed numerous celebrities doing drugs in public places.
No.
People will go, if they're at a club, they'll be taken to the back of the club by the owner and do things in the office that no one can see, but sometimes they're more open about it. And
this is the worst written reporting I have ever heard in my life. I have never heard a story written as badly.
And I didn't use all the sound bites. I only picked the best of them. This is a long story.
I've never heard anything so shoddily prepared. All right.
This will be on the newsstand tomorrow, by the way.
Jesus Christ.
Joey says many stars are very open about their drug use.
It's not like they're trying to hide it. I mean, they're very open about it.
I was just telling Kayla last night.
Said at one point that any drug you can name, he's done. And so it's not like they're all necessarily condoning it, but I think it's just kind of acceptable.
Who does she work for?
Us Magazine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Even by the admittedly low standards of Us Magazine, that's some really ass writing right there.
Well, I think she started filing.
Clearly. They just fired everybody else. Do we have an intern? She's the copy editor. Put her on the city beat. All right, well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, because God knows that didn't happen, 50 years ago. It didn't happen at Studio 54. Let's see. Molestation calls. George, hi.
Hey.
Hey.
I could have swore I just heard you say that you were never molested by a teacher that hot.
It's true.
And in the words of Ted Nye from Caddyshack, well, we're waiting.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that was not a Freudian slip. No, to the best of my knowledge, unless I was drugged at the time. No, I was not given a bad touch. Unless you count, I did have a teacher who liked to just sort of beat us around a little bit, but it was not in a sexy way.
In a sexual way.
It wasn't a sexy beating.
Okay.
No. Sorry, sir. Sorry to disappoint.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. There you go. You didn't ask about relatives, though. Let's see. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, with the hot teacher, I was just curious, you're talking about the high school.
Yeah.
Now, you said it was a White River High School student or a White River High School. I mean, is she a racist, too, or...
All right, wait, are you asking or is this humor?
Well, that was as close to humor as I can come this afternoon.
How unfortunate for all of us. That's a sympathy wand right there. No, White River. Yeah, right. Love, the language of love. Never call again. Here's Tim Riley.
Why, this is the most original idea in years. The ABC is bringing the game of bingo to television.
I hate myself and I'm going
to die. The network plans to premiere the brand new show, National Bingo Night.
Are you?
May 18th.
Really?
Yep. It'll feature one contestant playing against a member from the studio audience. Now, if the main player hits bingo first, they'll win the big prize. But
bingo?
If they're beaten by an audience member, yeah, the single player will get nothing. ABC will allow you, the home viewer, to print off playing cards from the network's website and play along.
My dream has come true. Be still my beating heart.
It'll be hosted by Ed Sanders.
That's who again?
He is the host of Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Oh, God almighty.
Ed Sanders.
You just know that if you win, you're going to win like a Stitch and Bitch kit, too. That's the thing they're going to give you. Here's a Bunko kit. Have fun.
Good God. Bingo?
Bingo. You know, next would be... all right. Blah, blah, blah. Insert, like, Yahtzee Boggle joke here. I don't even have the energy. I don't have the energy to do it. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's where you got to get to. We got Scotty. We talk about Grindhouse. We got to this movie thing. Well, let's do this here before we do anything else. What with the hole and the hay?
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
All right, Scotty J, RPA, entering the. Studio now in his resplendent, in his Dr. Pepper t-shirt. Hello, Scotty, and how are you on this fine Thursday?
Doing good. It's Dr. Pepper Relatable Thursday. It's that a shameless plug.
Tomorrow will be Woodpecker Friday.
I have got the greatest story for tomorrow. Scotty, it is important. I've got it all set up.
What?
Woodpecker Friday.
I don't... You realize no one knows what you're talking about, right?
He's worked very diligently on this whole promotion.
On
is
what?
Is there such thing as Woodpecker?
No, it's not Woodpecker Friday.
It begins tomorrow.
There's a beautiful Woodpecker story for tomorrow, though. We're saving it for tomorrow.
I don't understand.
It's a tease.
It's a tease.
You have a story about a Woodpecker?
No. Tim does.
Tim?
No, it's over there in the counter. It's not for me to read.
Nobody's claimed it yet, but we are going to do it.
Stop being insane right now. What are you talking about? Make sense this instant.
We're saving a Woodpecker story for tomorrow.
Tim?
Well, I have nothing against saving it for tomorrow.
Why are you...
I don't think it was a wee thing. I saw Scotty come running in, clutching his Woodpecker story, and running toward Tim, saying that he must read it.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Scotty was clutching his Woodpecker story, and he
firmly.
Yeah. And he told me he worked long and hard on this.
Long and hard on his Woodpecker story.
That's why we're saving it.
Did you write the Woodpecker story, Scotty?
No.
Why do you want to save it for tomorrow?
Because he worked long and hard on it.
It's got Scottish scientists in it and stuff like that, and we're on the verge of St. Paddy's Day, so it's just a good one for tomorrow.
I can't even take that.
Just move on. All right.
Why am I here?
But really,
you rang.
The answer to that is when no man or woman or deity can know the answer to that.
All
this,
we
Scotty.
Need to know is that we're saving the Scottish story
for St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. The start was like the long delayed reaction, like the 30-second pause before Tim giggled at that.
Oh, we have sound effects and everything. It's great, don't we, Tim?
We don't. You do. You're the source of this story. I'm just going along with it.
You have people throwing this to Tim. He doesn't know what you're talking about.
People hand me things. I read them. Words come out of my mouth.
That's it.
That's the extent of my job here.
All right. So let's never talk about that again. So Scotty,
till tomorrow. Go.
I came in today, and Scotty was in the kitchen, and he was, I swear, clutching proudly in his hand this thin book. What is the name of this book?
Oh, my God.
Sarah, would you read the title of this book that Scotty has in his hand?
100 Words to Make You Sound Smart.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
When did you buy this book?
I marched right out of here after yesterday's
is this because you didn't know what secular meant?
Yeah.
Do you remember what secular means?
Worldly, not spiritually.
Okay, very good. Non-religious. Do you remember how to spell it?
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
So...
He spelled it yesterday.
Can you spell it today? Secular.
S-U-C.
No, that suck. S-E.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry. I don't know.
I know that they're right next to each other in the alphabet.
C-U-L-A-R.
All right. Okay.
I mean, I don't know why I said the U there, really.
Uh-huh. So you went to what bookstore to buy this?
There was actually a book fair going on at my son's school last night. And this,
you bought that book at your son's school?
Hey, I'm supporting the school system, right?
How old is your son?
You know what? The thing about my son, you know, people might not be surprised, but the guy, he's like borderline genius.
What grade is he in?
He is in third grade. And last night, we were eating... We were eating dinner, and
he is ready for fourth grade already.
He is. He was telling you... We bought a book for him at
the book fair, too. You're reading a book to increase your intelligence, and it's a book they sold at your son's third grade book fair.
Right. They have books for adults, too, and that one's definitely adult-oriented.
Okay.
However, and then did you look at any words yet?
Kind of.
So this This is 100 words. This is like one of those books of power words. This is 100 words to make you sound smart.
Right. Now this is
not that it's not actually make you smart.
It's an illusion.
Yeah, it's like siding over dry rot. That's really what that is. 100 words to make you sound smart. Have you looked through the book?
No. So to be fair,
you don't know.
I want to find out if you know some of these words. That's what I want to do. You can randomly pick.
Oh, I see. This is a reverse quiz.
Yes, reverse.
These really aren't hard.
Well, find a hard one.
I'm trying, Scotty. I'm trying.
Scotty, so what is it? You want to quiz one? You want to quiz me?
You. You probably know all these words.
All right, fine.
All right, you want me to read you one, Rick?
Sad part.
You want to do it or you want Scotty to do it?
Scotty can do it.
Hearing him pronounce them might be worth his trip down here. All right, so the name of this book is 100 Words to Make You Sound Smart.
Yeah, and what if I sound stupid pronouncing it?
Well, let's cross that bridge as soon as you read this
book. Do you think you want to do one or two or something like that?
What?
One or two of these words, is that what you're thinking?
Give me a word.
Fastidious.
Fastidious means to be clean or tidy.
Meticulous attention to detail. I guess that could go under tidiness.
Fastidious, to be anal retentive.
Let's see here. Litany.
Litany means a long list. One might also say, it's like a list of things. I gave him a litany of reasons why. I gave him a panoply of reasons. A plethora of reasons.
Can you say...
Now you're just showing off.
Yeah.
Plethora of piñatas? Okay. I don't know if there's anything hard in here, for word-wise, you.
It's really hard to believe, seeing as I did come from a third-grade book fair.
That is ridiculous, huh?
Uh-huh.
Capricious?
Oh, capricious. The capricious means to be sort of, if I remember, to be enthusiastically frivolous or something. That might be wrong, though.
That was very colorful, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty...
You made it believable.
Nah, I'm not really sure about that one. That's one of those words that I only know in context.
Can you spell it?
SC words always screw me up. Capricious?
Close. Capricious, and it means characterized by or subject to whim, impulsive, and unpredictable.
There you go. All right.
So, equanimity.
To be made equal? To be made equal or to have an equitable split between parties to make fair on both sides of the equation?
I mean, you make it sound good, but there.
Let me see the book. Let's go through this.
I don't know any of these, so don't even bother with me.
How about, let's see. Tirade.
T-Y.
No. I wasn't even asking you to spell it. I was only asking for the definition. But since you asked, no. Tirade. Try again.
Going on a tirade, right? Just out of control?
Well, okay, but a tirade is
A tirade to burst into something.
It's not...
Into some kind of action.
It's not a verb. It's a noun.
That's weird.
It
seems like a verb.
It's
tirade. It's like an action.
It's not to anything. It's a noun.
That's weird.
Okay, fine.
It seems like an action. Tirade.
Stop! It's not a verb.
People use it in a verb sort of way. Then.
Use tirade.
I'm going on a tirade.
That's not using it as a verb.
It's an action. It's not a noun.
Okay, we're done. Thank you.
All right.
It is a noun. It's 5:03. We're going to take a break here. Back after this with more from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. It's like fighting a Taffy monster after a while. You're just sort of...
Did he really get that third grade son borderline genius in book fair?
Yes, he did. 503-733-2970. Back after this, coming up, top five, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. We'll talk about the new Tarantino Rodriguez film. You stay there. Don't go anywhere.